This is Foothill Family Church with Mike Webb. Building strong, spirit-filled lives through God's Word.
Folks, there is this consciousness on the inside of mankind that if we just give something up, then God will be happy with that. That's not what the Bible says ever works. Giving something up may be good for you physically. It may be even good for you to turn loose the things that are holding you back. But that's not what pleases God. You see people even going to extremes and monasteries and things like that where they abuse their bodies. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to escape sin consciousness. Because no matter what anybody does, no matter what works anybody experiences or enters into, they still can never escape this feeling of inferiority, unworthiness, and failure before God. There's only one thing that'll do that. There's only one thing that'll do that. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 54. It may take me 10 weeks to introduce this subject because there's so much groundwork that needs to be laid to see, to cause people to recognize that this reaches into every... It's like a weed that's got roots that go everywhere. It goes into every part of your life. It goes into every part of your existence. It goes into every part of your fellowship with God. Isaiah chapter 54... Verse 14, it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. The word established means to stand unmovable. It means literally, from the Hebrew, it means to set up or to stand upright. In other words, it's something, someone that is in a prone position being stood upright so that then they are fixed and they can't be knocked back down. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Folks, would you consider the church world to be living up to that scripture? Just that much? Would you consider the church world to be established in righteousness? Not if you've got sin consciousness. To whatever degree the church world is motivated and ruled and dominated by a sin consciousness, that cannot be true. I would submit to you, at least in my opinion, it looks to me like most of the church world, maybe 90%+ of the church world, is still dominated and ruled and controlled by sin consciousness. If we weren't, why would we be hearing the sermons that we hear? Why would the church be preached to about turn loose of sin and let go and commit yourself to the Lord and keep rededicating yourself and all that kind of stuff? If that's not about sin consciousness, what is it about? In righteousness shall you be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Oppression means injury or unjust gain. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. Now, folks, I would submit to you that this is that fear of death that we talked about over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. I would submit to you that this fear is not just talking about being afraid of something. I would submit to you that this fear is the fear that comes of or by spiritual death. What is it that will cause you to be established? What is it that will cause you to be far from oppression? What is it that will enable you to stand uprightly other than being far from sin consciousness? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Even before we finish the scripture, let me ask you a couple of questions. Colossians chapter 1 says that we are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. When? When are we complete in Him? Is it now, or is it when we get to heaven? Most of the church world puts off everything to heaven. Romans 8:37, in all these things you're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. When? Now? Or when we get to heaven. Most of the church world is looking for that in heaven. Jude verse 24. It talks about that He is able to present you before His presence without blemish, holy before Him. When? Now? When we're weak and inferior and full of sin? Or when we get to heaven? Most of the church world is looking for it in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Everybody believes that part of the verse. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When? Now or when we get to heaven? The church world is by and large focusing on when we get to heaven. That's when we're going to have victory. Think about what that means. That means, therefore, that the redemption that was purchased, supposedly, by the blood of Jesus necessitates physical death to be completed. That physical death is of the devil. That means God needs the devil to finish his work of redemption. Anybody want to buy into that argument? Any of the church world that wants to put off the blessings of God to heaven, but right here, now, we're still weak and infirmed and subject to all the things of the world? Want to buy into God needing the devil to finish his work? That's exactly what that would mean. There's nothing else it could mean. No, those things were true for us now. Those things were spoken to us now. That's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel that he said the world would be judged by. Not that things are going to be okay when we get to heaven, but that you have authority and righteousness now. Most people don't ever think this far out in advance. I get that. But I want you to understand something. Redemption was originally designed for you to, number one, be free from spiritual death. That's already happened. You've received eternal life. That's already happened. Redemption was also, the Bible says that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That means redemption was also provided for us to be free from sickness. And redemption was also provided for us to be free from poverty. Those are the three things that are the curse of the law. Spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Spiritual death, let's set that aside because that's eternal life. That'll be for us in heaven. But the other two aspects of redemption, redeemed from sickness and redeemed from poverty, how's that going to work for you in heaven? There is no sickness in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. How can redemption from spiritual death and from poverty work for anybody in heaven? There's nothing to be redeemed from in heaven. The point is very simply this. Redemption was designed to work for you here. If it doesn't work for you here, it's not going to work for you anywhere. Back to Isaiah 54. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. What is it that will keep you from oppression? What will it keep you from injury? What will keep you from being taken advantage of? What will keep you from being dominated? What will keep you from being established? Fear. Sin consciousness. That's what fear is in every context, folks. Fear can always be defined in some form as sin consciousness. Consciousness of your own weakness, your own failure, your own insecurity, your own inferiority. You'll be far from fear. And from terror. In other words, you'll be far from terror too. For it shall not come near thee. Now what in the world is this supposed to produce in man? It's supposed to produce the very image or example of Jesus here on the earth. Think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus knew no sin. He was born apart from the sin nature that came on mankind through Adam and Eve. That's what the virgin birth was all about. It was God invading the earth with righteousness. Jesus was righteous from the beginning. He never sinned in and of himself. He never tasted of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so he lived his life, the whole of his life, without sin. Jesus came in the presence of God without any sense of inferiority. He had no sense of failure. He had no sense of weakness. He had no sense of inability. When he stood before the sick, did he feel inferior and unable to handle the task? Nope. Why? Because he was righteous, plus he had been anointed by the Holy Ghost. You know, he's of the right character to be master of the circumstance. Plus he has the power of the Holy Ghost to enable him. When Jesus needed money, what did he do? He told Peter, go fish. First fish that comes up. Must be more than one fish you're going to catch then. First fish that comes up, going to have a coin in his mouth. There was never any sense of lack, never any sense of need whatsoever. Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed 5,000 one time, 7,000 another place. No sense of lack whatsoever. Folks, what I want you to understand is Jesus was master of every circumstance. There was no circumstance, no situation, no weapon that the enemy could bring against him that he was not master of. Righteousness is a mastery thing. Now some will say, oh, but Pastor Mike, that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Yep. And the Son of God said, the works that I do shall you do also. Why? Because I go unto my Father. What does going to the Father have to do with anything? That's what made you righteous. Have you left Isaiah 54 yet? In righteousness you'll be established, and oppression shall be far from you. For you shall not fear, and from terror, terror will be far from you too, for it shall not come near thee. Terror means destruction or ruin, by the way. You don't have to be afraid of being ruined. So he says, in righteousness you'll be established. Notice the context of this is what verse 14 is speaking to. Because we're established in righteousness, he says in verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Righteousness is a mastery issue. Adam and Eve were masters of the earth as long as they maintained their righteousness. Jesus was master of sickness and disease. He was the master of lack. He was the master of poverty. He was the master of his relationship with God. Why? Because he was righteous. No weapon is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee, and there will be a lot of them are going to be Christians. Every tongue that will rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Here's where you have to change your thinking. Righteousness was on Jesus' part, because it was his birthright. Righteousness is yours because of your spiritual birthright. It is certainly not according to anything you've done. And that's the place, that's the root hold that sin consciousness has in every one of us.
Join Mike Webb and Foothill Family Church every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our weekly healing school.
For 23 years, I suffered with that unbelievable migraines penetrating through my eye. Now, the healing was new for me in my own experiences. I didn't know that I was healed. And the minute I heard that through Jesus, I was healed, that just struck me. And I received, and I just said, it's over. Within 3 or 4 days, I've not had any migraines. It's all gone. All relieved. I received it.
Again, that's Healing School each Sunday night, led by Pastor Mike Webb at 6 p.m. For directions and more information, go to mikeweb.tv. Foothill Family Church, building strong, spirit-filled lives through God's Word.
Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, and we'll close with this. Let's start in verse 17 again. We'll read down through verse 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, new species of being, spiritual creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Another translation says, and this is the work of God. What's he mean? He means the spiritual things that change are of or by God. Not by you. Has nothing to do with you. Your part was to make the decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everything else from that point on, as far as what you're created to be, is God. And all things are of God, or this is the work of God, who has reconciled us to himself. You remember me telling you a minute ago about the word reconciled? It literally means to exchange mutually. That means one for one swap. That means if you and I exchange something mutually, if I give you my car, you give me your car. Not I give you my car and you give me your car and your house. A one for one exchange. There is a one for one spiritual exchange. Jesus died for you as an individual. If you're the only person on the earth, he would have died for you. If nobody had accepted Jesus, he still would have died on the cross. Just the same. We sometimes say, well, Jesus would have died for just one person. Well, that's true, but Jesus would have died for nobody. If nobody accepted him, Jesus still would have done the same thing because it was based on God's goodness and not somebody accepting. And this is the work of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, exchanged mutually to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Please notice that. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. This word reconciliation means a little bit different. It's a different tense. It means to exchange. Now you can understand how that still has the same meaning, but a little bit different. It literally means God has given to you the ministry of exchange. What is the good news of Jesus? What is Paul telling us the gospel is? Jesus paid the price. There was an exchange. It was certainly a mutual exchange, but that exchange just simply has to be received now. That's all there is to it. There's no work. You know one of the most astounding things about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was a works guy. Everything in his life was based on works. Everything about who he was, everything about his advancement, everything about what he had gained was based on works. He had to throw everything about his thinking concerning works away and accept it by grace through faith. And he spent the rest of his life fighting against those who were rules and law people just like he was, because they refused to throw it out. They persecuted him. They beat him. They imprisoned him. They spent the rest of their lives trying to say, this grace by faith, this just accepting the exchange stuff, cannot be everything there is to it. And Paul said, yeah, it is. You may be one of those rules and law people too. It may be more difficult for some to throw that line of thinking out to accept the mutual exchange than it is for other people. Nevertheless, no matter what category or what group you fall into, it has to be done if you're going to grow out of sin consciousness. So he's reconciled us unto himself and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, in other words, here's what the ministry of reconciliation is all about. To wit, that God was in the world reconciling, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The Amplified says, but canceling them out. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the word of exchange. In other words, the good news is God doesn't hold anybody's sins against them. They've already been paid for. That's what the ministry of exchange is all about. Now then, because of the mutual exchange, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, carrying the ministry of exchange, the ministry of reconciliation, the good news that man's sins have been canceled out. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, isn't that an interesting thing to say to somebody that's already been reconciled? Isn't that an interesting thing to say to somebody that's already been born again? He's writing to the church. He's writing to spiritually alive people. Isn't that an interesting thing for him to say to people that have already made the exchange from spiritual death to spiritual life? He's got to be talking about something more than salvation then, doesn't he? Where he said, we beseech you by God through us that you be reconciled unto God. What's he talking about? He's talking about now you've made the transfer. You've made the change from spiritual life or spiritual death to spiritual life through the blood of Jesus. But that's not where this journey stops. Now you've got to overcome the sin consciousness. The same sin consciousness, the same fear of death, that kept you in bondage all throughout your life. Now that still has to be overcome now that you're in the family of God. If you're going to be the master over sin, sickness, and circumstances like Jesus died for you to be. That's what he's saying. And notice what he starts off with on your journey to be renewed in your mind to righteousness. Verse 21. For he, God, has made him to be sin for us. Remember, this is all in context of a mutual exchange. Notice he says God made Jesus to be sin. He does not say that God laid sin upon Jesus. See, what I found, not only in my own life, but also in dealing with other people, to the degree that they believe Jesus was made sin, that's the degree that they accept themselves to be righteous. See, man's okay. Man works real well with this mutual exchange concept. And consequently, most people look at righteousness in a religious way that we have robes of righteousness. In other words, it's like a cloak that's put upon our shoulders. It's not really us, but it's a clothing that God sees us in. Well, what does that do? That fosters the same idea that Adam and Eve were trying to, the same thing that Adam and Eve were trying to accomplish in the Garden of Eden. They sewed fig leaves together. We'll just cover up. It's not really who we are, but maybe God won't notice. That's exactly what the church does with righteousness. It's this cloak. It's this coat of some type that God puts upon us so it doesn't have to look at the lousy, failing, weak, insecure, and incomplete people that we really are. So consequently, If it's just a cloak or a clothing garment or something like that that God puts on us for righteousness, then when Jesus was hanging on the cross, God must have just kind of laid the coat of sin over on Him. The problem is, that's not what the Bible says. I've got people all over the country that want to argue with me about Jesus dying spiritually. It's fantastic. I mean, a real blessing. I get letters, I don't know why, I don't know how they come, but people are seeing us all over, really all over the world, not just all over the country, but people are seeing us all over the world, whether it's on TV or on the internet. People are seeing us, and whenever I go into this thing about Jesus dying spiritually, man, here they come. They come with their scriptures. No, that can't be, that can't be, that can't be. Folks, I understand it's difficult for us to comprehend how Jesus, the Son of God, could be made sin. How God could literally put Him into the hands of the devil in hell, figuratively in the hands of the devil. The devil's not in hell. But how figuratively He could be placed in the power of spiritual death, separated from God without any power on Jesus' part to rejoin Himself back to the Father. Literally, He lays His life down once and for all, putting Himself in the hands of God for the plan of God to be accomplished. I understand that. How could Jesus, who was righteous, then become the nature of the devil himself, which is sin, and go into the lowest part of the earth? I know that's difficult to understand. There's some parts about it I don't like. There's some parts about it I don't like to think about. Yet that's what the Bible says happened. It says God has made Jesus to be sin. That means when He makes someone, that means He became the nature of it. Whatever the it is He's talking about. In this case, sin. He made Him to be sin. For example, you were made to be a man or made to be a woman. One way or the other. You didn't have anything to do with it. You were born into the earth, and that's how it was. Jesus laid His life down. He died on the cross and then was made to be sin. Two categories of spiritual life versus spiritual death. There's either sin or there's life. Death or life. Sin or righteousness. That's the only possibility there is. Jesus went from righteousness to sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not my idea. It's not my concept. That's what the Bible says. Take the words apart in the original language and that's what it says. God has made Jesus to be sin. Jesus became the nature of spiritual death Himself. His nature went from being righteous to being spiritual death or sin. He made Him to be. Jesus was powerless to overcome it. There came a point where He completely laid His life down, put Himself into the hands of God. That's what He's saying on the cross, by the way. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. Up until that point, Jesus could have done something about it. Jesus said Himself, no man takes my life, but I can lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can raise it back up again. Not on the cross. Once He comes to the cross and He says, Father, I commend my spirit into Your hands. That's it. He's saying, okay, my will is done here. My ability to do something about this is over. It's all You now. That's why He said it's finished. He said it's finished on the cross. Well, what was finished? Redemption sure wasn't finished. He hadn't been to the heavenly holy of holies and given His blood before the altar of God. As Hebrews 9 says that He did. We know that He hasn't because on His resurrection, He told Mary at His tomb, He said, don't touch me, I haven't been to my Father yet. Well, where have you been? If you've not been to heaven yet, then it can't be finished. So what's finished when He says so on the cross? What is it that's finished? The law. The law has been fulfilled. The price for sin hasn't been paid yet. It's beginning to be paid, but it hasn't been completed. God has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that or so that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, righteousness is not some garment you put on. It's your nature. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Exactly. I don't think so. I know where I've messed up. Exactly. What you haven't done, you're righteous because all of these things are of God. This is the work of God to have made you righteous. Two works in redemption. First, Jesus forgave sin. And secondly, He recreated you. Forgiveness of sin was accomplished through the Old Testament sacrifice. But there's no recreation. Jesus became the sacrifice, and He paid the price for sin, and then He recreates you. Two steps. Both are necessary. The recreation is a recreation of the nature of God. Peter says we have become partakers of the divine nature. What is that divine nature? The same nature Jesus had here on the earth. Righteousness. God has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that or so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Folks, the fact is simply this. You and I, by virtue of the fact that we've made Jesus the Lord of our lives, have been made righteous. One of the greatest tragedies, I believe, in all of eternity. The Bible says when we get to heaven, God will wipe away every tear. That struck me one day. Why in the world are people going to be crying in heaven? Paul said it was better than anything he could possibly use words to describe. What are people going to be crying about in heaven that God has to wipe away tears over? I think one of the great things that people are going to be crying about in heaven is when they get to heaven and they lose this sin consciousness and they see that they were masters over the circumstances that kept them bound and crushed down all through their lives because they didn't renew their mind to the truth of who they had been made by Jesus' work on the cross. There is going to be some weeping and wailing in heaven where the same people who are spouting off here on the earth, Christians spouting off, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Him, why'd you let this happen to me? The answer is very simple, folks. You don't have to wait to get to heaven. The Bible tells you the answer here. Because until you overcome that sin consciousness, you'll never become the master of your own life. You'll never become the master of your own physical well-being. You'll never become the master of your own spiritual well-being, your own fellowship with God. You'll never become the master of the lack that comes against you in life. You'll never become the master of the weapons formed against you. The devil, even though you're righteous, even though you're in the family of God, the devil will keep you crushed down, not by his work, but because of your failure to overcome and grow beyond the sin consciousness that holds you back. I personally believe that a righteousness consciousness is the most important thing to do once a person gets saved. I believe that that is the whole purpose in growing in the knowledge of God's Word, is to develop a consciousness of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul says the earth is going to be judged by.
Thanks for watching today. The Bible says that Jesus was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's so important to know that we are made righteous, not trying to be righteous, but that He's changed our nature. Come join us at Foothill Family Church.
This is Foothill Family Church with Mike Webb.
My mother called up and said, "You have to turn on the TV, you have to watch this man." Suddenly we're watching it every Sunday. It started the whole, well, maybe we should go to church. We're going to get out of our pajamas on Sunday morning and we're going to go to church. And now you can't get us to not come to church.
These are exciting times at Foothill Family Church. Come be a part of it.
Join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Visit us online at mikeweb.tv. Foothill Family Church. Building strong, Spirit-filled lives through God's Word.